Hi, everyone.
Just in time.
So glad this thing's working. Amy, grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you so much, Yana. Thank you. Thank you, Yana, for my life. You know, when your best friend's a programs chair, I mean, of course you get to open up the convention. But Keith, thank you so much for your service these past couple years. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone on the committee and all the past chairs here who have showed us how to do it with grace. I mean, some of us. So, seriously, this convention is really so very special to me. I've been coming here for 13 years. I've been doing service here. I started as working in the hospitality room because I go, as you heard, I'm a member of the Tradition 5 meeting, and so there are quite a few past chairs who go to that meeting, and there's a lot of involvement here at this convention from that meeting, and so they had this sign-up sheet going around, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll put my name up there. It's not like I'm going to show up, you know, I'll just put my name up there. So I did, and then I showed up. I think I was 2 weeks in program, and I was in the hospitality room. Hospitality room used to be where the lounge is right now, and so I went in there, and I was just like, I panicked because there were like all these alcoholics, you know, and I thought, oh my God, where are the Al-Anons? I have to find the Al-Anons. And I was amazed at how the Al-Anons and the AAs were blended, and they were working together, and they were laughing, and I thought, maybe we can have that too. My husband's right over there in the corner. And I think we have that today, you know? He's on the committee. He's also in the program. He's in the program. I'm in the program. And it's if you asked me 13 years ago that I would open this program and see both of our names in here, I'd say, you need to go to the psych ward immediately. Yeah, thank you everyone for showing us how to do this. We have an amazing life, just like the reading said, you know, what a beautiful reading, Renee. Brandy, another amazing, do I look younger? You know, sometimes you get those selfie lights and you're like, whoa, I like that. Okay, I'm going to digress a little. So we went to Hawaii once. And we just learned how to do selfies. And we were in the bathroom over by the pool. It was nighttime. And I came, we were at like the pool bar, and I went to the bathroom, and I was like, God, this lighting is amazing. So I go back to the table, and it's like Yana and some other people. I'm like, the pool toilet has amazing light. And we all run in there and start taking selfies in there because we all look like 20 years younger. And then so all the pictures have like toilet stalls in the background. And I tried like photoshopping them out. Just can't. But they're good, really good pictures. That's, if you're new, these are some of the amazing experiences you get to have. Toilet selfies. I couldn't have scripted that, you know? But yeah, so I came here and you guys showed us how to do it, really. And I haven't left yet. One day, I hope I can be chair of this convention. It just hasn't worked out today. Lots of commitments, but one day I think it's something I want to do. So don't nominate me again, people, tonight, okay? I'll just start, some of us start with our autobiography. I'm not going to do the whole thing because I'm old, but I'll start with, I'm Mimi. I was born and raised in, born and mostly raised in Hawaii. my mom didn't have alcoholism on her side. My dad had nothing but alcoholics on his side. And still on my dad's side, there are just lots of amazing practicing alcoholics and drug addicts. I didn't know what an alcoholic or an Al-Anon was. Growing up, there was no recovery in my house. I just knew that my mom was one of these Al-Anons that, I mean, I know she was an Al-Anon at the time, but she was a hardworking woman. Even though I grew up and I had more, I guess, resentment toward my mom, who was not the alcoholic and not the abuser, I didn't realize until later in life that she was giving me so much. I just hated her for not having the strength to leave as alcoholic. I didn't know that, you know, her suiting up and showing up for work every single day, even with black eyes or whatever it was, that was going to be even a good model for me. And today, God help the person who tries to give me a black eye, but, you know, I do, like the reading said, you know, I can endure a lot. It says, I can handle, what was it? It said something about, I can do difficult things. I can do really difficult things today and not miss it. So, like, that's really coming up for me lately is being able to utilize the tools of this program and not miss it. Not miss all of the miracles and the nuggets and the learnings to remain teachable, even when it's really scary to be that, to do that. To let others live their life, even when it's really scary. I grew up in Hawaii. When I was 7, we moved to San Francisco because it was just too hard for my mom to keep hiding the abuse. So my dad picked us up, and we moved to San Francisco, but there was so much abuse going on, and forgive me if a lot of you know this part of my story, but when I was 4, my dad burned my legs. So he picked me up from school, and I lost my slippers, I couldn't find them, and he proceeded to burn my legs for 3 hours, and I was in the hospital and all that, but back then, you know, it wasn't mandatory. If someone came in with signs of domestic violence, you didn't go to jail. Someone had to press charges against you. My mom was too scared to do that. So she buried it. She denied it. And then ultimately, when we couldn't do that anymore, we moved to San Francisco. And then it got worse, believe it or not. So I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but there was, I'm going to just say that it got worse and there was a lot of blood and broken bones and my mom, you know, knocked all her teeth out of her face. But the point is, I want to just kind of illustrate that this is where I came from. And because of the tools of this program, I don't have to be stuck there. You know, I have an amazing life today. And I never, if you told me 13 years ago that one day I would not be able to get enough of my mom, that I would stop hating her, that I would maybe, that I would talk to the alcoholic who did all that abusing, I'd say, again, you should go meet those other people in the psych ward. But I've had so many amazing experiences because of the tools of this program. So I, not surprisingly, I married an alcoholic, and I moved here and married an alcoholic right away. I was married to him for 12 years, and I tried to control his drinking. I was the one who was, like, snatching drinks out of someone's hands on the dance floor, you know, smelling it and drinking it and then yelling at them and pointing fingers because they said, oh, it's just a Diet Coke, and then there's rum in there. And, you know, that was me. That was me, and you know, it was, I was always a party pooper. And my ex-husband would say, "You're such a buzzkill. God. Like, I was having such a good time, and then you just frickin', you're just a buzzkill." I remember that he'd say that to me all the time. And so I divorced him because he just wouldn't stop. He wouldn't listen to me. And I was single for 3 years because I was just so exhausted from chasing that alcoholic around. And then I met my husband, my current husband, at a bar. Are you surprised? And I said, "Are you an alcoholic?" And he goes, "Oh, absolutely not. I can hold my alcohol." And I thought, that's how you were, you know, you just were slurring and you know, embarrassing people, that then you're an alcoholic. But if you just drank a lot and you could, you know, hold it, hold your own, you were an alcoholic. So I thought, oh, he said no, check. Okay, he's not an alcoholic. And then I want to say maybe a month or so into the program, I forget. He was like, "I have a really bad neck." And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm one of those Al-Anons. I stockpile Percocets. So I've got a whole drawer of like 500 Percocets. Like, I had back surgery and all sorts of things, and I never took them, but I filled them and I threw them in the drawer." I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, it would be some kind of like, I need him to take to a bomb shelter. I don't know. And so he said, "Oh, my neck hurts." And I said, "Well, you know, you could have, you know, help yourself." He helped himself, all right. They're like, they were gone. And within weeks, all bottles and bottles were gone. And I was like, "What happened to all the pills?" And he was like, "You know, I showed you my MRI, like, I have a bad neck, you know?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's true, check." So, you know, I have a lady I sponsored, she's so funny, she says, "Today when I see red flags, I don't think it's a parade." And I pay attention today, you know? That's one of the things that I've learned how to do here, is pay attention. And not deny. And so, thank God, though, because I wouldn't be here today, right, if I was paying attention. So, yeah, so we, I love my husband, have loved him since the very beginning. He's just an alcoholic, you know, this thing is bigger than him. And I remember saying to him, "It's bigger than you." After 8 years of him trying to manage his drinking unsuccessfully, I said, this is bigger than you and us. And thank God, by the grace of God, he went to rehab. And then they were very abusive at his rehab, yelling at me, chasing me down the driveway, telling me, you know, get the hell away from him. What is wrong with you? Leave him alone. We're alcoholics. We have him. Go to Al-Anon right away. And they finally said it in a way that I could hear it. They said, "If you really want to help him, do you really want to help him? Please go to Al-Anon." And so I went. And I called. I like to call the late Pete Kastoff, my husband's first sponsor. My first sponsor, because I call him all the time. My husband goes, "I didn't know you called Pete that much." I go, "Oh, he didn't tell you." And that's the kind of guy he was. Like, he didn't, you know, like, why? And he just would, like, I'd call and I'd be like, "When's this AA thing going to start working? Because it ain't working. He's an asshole." And he'd say, "Oh, yeah?" And I go, "Yeah, he blah, blah, blah." And he'd go, "Oh, is that what you think?" And I go, "That's what I know. I know he's effing with me. I know he's playing games, Pete. He's playing games." And I go, "Oh, he's playing games? How do you know that?" And I go, "Because I'm married to him, Pete. If you were ever married, you would know." And he'd go, "Okay, well, you got this then, right? Sounds like you got this. Okay, I'm going to go now." And then he'd go, but I'll leave you with this one thing, and I know I'm going to say it wrong. He'd go, seldom right, never in doubt. But never in doubt. There you go. And it was so true, you know. I was one of those Al-Anons who knew 100%. I didn't think I knew what was going on or what was in your heart. I knew what was in your heart. 100%. I would go to Vegas and put all my money on that. And he would say things like that because I had such a hard time living in today and letting go of the past, letting go of all those years. My husband was drinking for about 8 years, you know? I mean, letting go of all of that because I was coming up on my 50s, I think, or I was in my 40s, and I was like, you know, the consummate victim and saying, I've thrown my life away to yet another alcoholic, you know, because of another alcoholic. And this is what God's got for me. And when I went to that first meeting at Tradition 5, they said to me, just try this thing, girl. You are, because I was so, and even my husband would say to me, just be willing to be willing, for God's sakes. The poor guy, you know, for he was like, I don't know, maybe a month sober, telling me, just be willing, begging me to be willing to be willing. That's how stubborn I was. And they said, we'll refund your misery. Just try this thing. You can always have your shitty life back. It's right there. No one, we don't need to lock it up because no one wants it. Trust me, no one is going to steal it. I promise. And I haven't asked for it back, you know, all these years later. They modeled for me in that meeting and convention, how to keep my trap shut, I mean, I still have trouble with control. That's my drug of choice, is control. And, you know, I pray for clarity and courage multiple times a day because I want to see, I want to be clear on when alcoholism is present in me and around me, because I know what tools to use when alcoholism is present. I know exactly what to do today. Like, you guys have shown me, here's a toolbox, and here are the tools to use in these situations. So I know now what to pull out. I know that if I bring God into it, that what was right yesterday isn't right today. There isn't a rule book that says, this is always wrong, and this is always right. You know, I didn't share that. I have a younger brother, and he's 12 years younger than I am, so I raised him. And, you know, I was that kid, that 12-year-old. My mom was working because my dad was in prison in San Quentin, and so she was working, and I'd have to go. I'd take him to preschool, I'd go to my school, I'd pick him up after school, on the bus, all on the bus in San Francisco, you know? And I do all these, so I raised this kid, and, you know, I just didn't know that, I kind of lost my train right there. I was talking about my brother. I don't know.
School.
School. I love this. The Al-Anons, they just want to help. Sounds like, but yeah, and that's okay. I guess God didn't want me talking about my brother right now, but I'll come back to him. So I came to the meetings, and you guys showed me the tools, though, what to use, when to use, how to use them. My brother. So, you know, one day it's okay for me to send him money in prison. Tomorrow it's not the right thing to do. But I know it's the right thing to do at that time because I brought God into it. I'm very, very clear. And my actions, you know, I was taught that this is a spiritual program of spiritual action. If I'm bringing God into my day, then the actions that I take are spiritual. And so every 2 hours, my husband gets so irritated, I'm sure, so many times, because my alarms go off. You know, we're going into a museum, when my alarms go off, you know, and I just stop and I just say whatever the affirmation is or prayer out loud right there. And then I continue to give my ticket to the museum person and I go. But I can't get into too much trouble, you know, if I'm bringing God in every couple of hours. I can't really go off the rails too bad. I can't do too much wreckage. I can wreck a lot in a short amount of time. I can do some damage, but not, you know, I can't typically do something that's irrevocable, you know. And so I've learned that. I've learned to bring God in. My family is very religious on my mom's side, and I just thought they were just idiots. You know, I thought, look at these people. They have no freaking clue what they're all a member of this cult. It is the biggest scam ever. Yeah. You know, they go to church and they do all of these rituals, and then they come home and they talk shit about each other or they tell each other off. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. And I realized, I learned here that they're not the same. And that's why I was so afraid when I first got here. I thought, this is a cult. And they're talking about his and the him thing. Really, that one I was really, you know, I was worried about that. And, you know, after 13 years, I'm here to say, if you're new and the his and the him thing bothers you, it's not a cult. They're not going to come for your shit. They haven't come for my stuff. In fact, my life is still there. I haven't asked for it back. And it's, don't be distracted by that. And that's the other thing. My disease looks like me, sounds like me, and she acts like she's my best friend. And she tells me that all I need is her. And she'll tell me that these people are out to get me, that person wanted to hurt you, that there it is, you see that, Amy? And that's another tool that I've learned here, is that if I'm praying and I'm bringing God into my moment every couple of hours, I can be very clear on when my disease is present, when the alcoholic behavior in me is present, and when it's not. So I have that clarity and courage. The other thing I pray for, there's another thing that I say every 2 hours, and it's and this came from a lady I sponsor, and I say, I like to think that this is what my higher power sounds like. This is how my higher power talks. And so I just say, relax. I've got you. You haven't done anything wrong. You'll be amazed and surprised. And when I'm cranked up to here, and I'm like, you know, hair on fire, fork in the eye, I just say that. And it just, like, I come right, I'm like at a 10, I'm down to a 4. Just that little simple phrase. So I have that in my alarms. Like at 7 a.m., it'll say, good morning. And I know what that means. Good morning, God, surprise me. I say that. And then at 9, C&C, clarity and courage, God. And then at 11, because 11 is when my day's gone a little bit, and I could be getting, you know, a little bit of fire here on my hair. Maybe, you know, a spoon in the eye. And so I have to, then I say the relax thing. And then I'm good. And then I do, it's kind of like the alcoholics with their daily reprieve. like, I get 2 hours and then I do good morning again, you know, at 1 p.m. Good morning, God, surprise me. And then at 3, I go clarity and courage, and I just do that till 11 p.m. And it, you know, my husband just knows, he goes, when my alarms go off, he goes, is that clarity and courage? And I'm like, oh, is that relax? Like, he knows which one it is now. He doesn't get irritated anymore. He knows, or he'll stick his head in, is that good morning? And so, like, this is what you have to look forward to, newcomers. It's fun. And so, like, I want to just tell you a few stories that just kind of illustrate, because of this program, how I'm not missing it. I'm not missing a thing. I'm catching it all, you guys. Catching it all. So, one of the things is using our words. My husband's here, so I'm going to tell you this story. It's pretty funny. So, I had just gotten this convertible car, and my husband has a lot of anxiety. He doesn't like to drive with people, and certainly doesn't want to be in a convertible, okay, with the top down. So his brother had moved to Santa Barbara, and he was like, or his niece was up going to college up there. This was a few years before COVID, and he was like, well, let's go see Mary. And I go, yeah, let's go. Let's do that. I'll drive. Because, you know, we were worried that, you know, the electric car is not going to have enough juice to get up there. So I go, I'll drive, and we'll put the top down. And I can see he's like, okay, I'm going to try this. You know, I'm going to be willing to be willing. Like, he's like, okay. I'm like, look at that. He didn't resist. He's going with it. Okay. So we go, and he's a little irritated, you can tell. He's a little crispy. So we get in the car, and he goes, you know, he wants to leave earlier or whatever. And so we get in, and then he goes, I'm going to call an alcoholic. I go, oh, that's good, you know, call an alcoholic. And then so I put the top down. I'm just feeling good. We're about to get on the 101. And then I go, you might want to put your earbuds in. And he goes, it's either going to work or it's not. Like, he's a little irritated, you know? And I go, oh, okay. I'm just going to drive. And so we live in Topanga, so we get on at, like, Mulholland. So, I don't know, we're, like, in Thousand Oaks now. And I look over, and he's like this. And he's, like, got his head down between his knees, and I'm like, not my business. And he's talking to an alcoholic. I'm not trying to hear what they're saying. And then so he hangs up, and then he says, is the only way to put this thing up to pull over? And I go, pretty much. And he goes, well, can you pull over? And I go, okay, yeah, no problem. I go, but I'm going to get off the freeway. Of course you're going to get off the freeway. I would never have you pull over on the freeway. And I was like, okay. So we get off, and then he's, you know, he's just, now he's got anxiety. And so I pull into the lot, but I don't pull in the right way, whatever. He's got some stuff to say, but I'm doing me. So I drive in, and then I put the top on, and I get back on the freeway, and then he says, so, you know, I'm just curious. Could you not see that I was having difficulty? And I said, no, I wasn't paying attention to your conversation, you know? I mean, you're talking to an alcoholic. I'm not. You said it was going to work out or not. And he goes, you couldn't tell that I was having difficulty. And I said, no, I don't operate with hints and gestures any longer. I've learned that in Allen. So I'm going to give you the dignity to use your words. And he was like, oh! So if I was choking, you would. I said, well, I mean, I would, maybe 10 years ago, no, but today, yeah, I would save you. I would say so. I would do something, yes. Mind you, how is 4'10 going to do Heimlich on 6'4? Yeah. Okay, that's, I don't know. I'd have to stand on a table. I don't know. And so, you know, I said, I'm going to give you the dignity to manage your feelings. and there was a giant reaction, and then it was like silence all the way to Santa Barbara. And it's that, like, I want to just die and crawl out of my skin, you know, when you're in the car. I don't know about you guys, we fight in the car. Mm-hmm. And so that awful feeling, like, I just want to throw up, you know, and I'm driving, and I'm just praying the whole time, going, okay, I know, I've learned here. Just because there's blowback, it doesn't mean a miracle's not in the works. A miracle's not happening right now. And so we went, and it was great. We had an amazing time with his niece, and he was, you know, he snapped out of it. 2 weeks later, it's Christmas, and where he's like, we're going to go to my brother's tomorrow. And he goes, you're going to drive, right? And I said, oh, no. I want the driving. That was quite unpleasant last time. So I will not be driving. He said, I promise to manage my feelings. Uh-huh. 2 weeks. That's all it took. But I had to have the courage. I couldn't have done that on my own. I had to pull God in. I had to have the courage to say to him, I don't operate with hints and gestures. Mm-mm. I mean, we've had so many of those, I can't even tell you. We had one recently, too. I don't know which time I have left. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to hear some stories! Okay. Okay, so that's the one about using my, you know, the words, using my words. The other one is, it's like I was saying earlier about like, what's right yesterday may not be right today, you know, might not be a spiritual action. So one day, you can imagine my bathroom has a red chandelier in it, right?
Yes.
So I got this red chandelier, and I was like, so I don't know, for you, those of you who are a little older like me, there was this guy, and he had a show called, his name is Bob Vila. So they used to call me Barbara Vila, because I love doing stuff like that, right? So I get the chandelier, I'm like, I'm going to hug it out myself, like I did all the other light fixtures, you know? And so my husband is like, let me help you. And that's another thing that we have learned how to do, is that we have to invite each other into the conversation, the situation. So I do like home improvement stuff, and it's like I want what I want when I want it. I have very alcoholic behavior, you know. I don't want anybody asking questions. Don't freaking ask me a damn thing. If you want to help, you do what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, how I want you to do it, period. Okay? And so, you know, and then if you ask me a question, I'm going to talk to you like you're stupid. And I'm going to be very irritated with you that you asked the question, okay? I'm going to do that. And so the flip happens when we're talking about finances. So my husband is a finance person, so he used to talk to me like that. And so we have, you know, situations like where we feel we're superior, and we talk to the other one like that. And so we learn that we have to have patience, and we have to actually invite the other person in. And yeah, we've got to spend a little bit more time to be patient, and it's going to take a little longer. Okay, so I want to put this chandelier up, and I said, can you help me, please? Because it's glass and it's heavy. He's like, yeah. Like, just hold the thing, okay? Just hold it there. I'm going to climb up like a little monkey on top of the counter. So I'm up on the counter, and the ceiling's right there, and he's holding it. And then I hook it in a certain way, and then I'm holding it now for a second. I ask him to go, oh, I have to redo it. because of course I don't read instructions. I'm that arrogant. And so I start taking the crystals off because they're heavy, you know. And so I give it to him. Like, can you just put it right there in the bedroom on the floor? And he said, well, why? Why? Ugh. So now he's asking questions. Why? Shouldn't I? I mean, I want to put it on the bed. It should be on the bed. I said, no. And I'm holding this thing. It's heavy. It's 30 pounds. I said, no. The dogs are going to jump on it. We have 3 herding dogs. And so I go, the dogs are going to be on there. No, please. Please put it on the, thank you, 15 minutes. Please put it on the, where I told you to put it. Okay, here come more questions. More questions. And I said, I'm begging you. Please put it on the thing, please. It's like I'm shaking now. And, okay, and this is how God is. There's a heat lamp in my bathroom, and it's baking me now. Literally, I am like sweating, and it's pouring, and I'm holding this thing, and he's asking me questions, and I'm like, please, I'm begging you. So I'm trying to be graceful, right? Like, my sponsor's an etiquette teacher. She would never cuss, right? I'm like, please. And then more questions come, and then I explode. I explode like Mauna Kea. And then I said, he said, I'm done! And I said, done! And he laughed, you know, and then I am sitting here with this thing, right? And so I have to, like, unhook it, and I'm sweating and pouring. And, you know, I was praying on that, and I thought, I felt so bad and so shitty about that big, giant response that I had. And I prayed on it, and then I just pulled out a daily reader, and it talked about grace. And then I looked up the definition. Well, my husband reminded me that the definition of grace, Merriam-Webster's definition of grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for regeneration and sanctification. There, I got it. And I realized, okay, unmerited, it means I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the bad things, and I don't deserve the good things. Like, God loves me, my higher power loves me, and is giving me exactly what I need when I need it. So all I need to do, though, is take, it says assistance, I need to take an action. So long as I'm in spiritual action, I'm going to have that grace. And just because I had a big reaction, it doesn't mean it wasn't graceful, because I felt so dirty after that. And I realized that when I say I'm begging you, like, I'm begging you, you know? And I realized that when I have a big reaction, it goes in the shame bucket. And I had to go back. It was an amazing experience. I went back. It was almost like I went back through my files, and I was like, oh, you know, that's misfiled. It doesn't belong in the shame bucket. That belongs over here. And I felt it was actually a really incredible experience for me to go back and look at some of these situations. So, like, I'm not missing that, you know? I'm able to see the difference, and I'm able to see the learnings in a situation that's really tough like that. My husband is my greatest teacher, I'll tell you today. I learned so much being in this relationship. It is one of the greatest gifts. Another thing is that, like, the reading that Renee read about doing difficult things, I tell you, so my little brother, I said earlier, he was in prison for 10 years. Maximum security prison in Hawaii. And he got out in October. And so my husband is such a lover. He was like, let's go. Let's be there, you know. And some of you know, I was like, the movie in my mind was like, I'm going to be at the fence. Thank you, Yana and Lisa. I'm going to be at that chain link fence or whatever it is. Like when the mafia guys get out, you know, and they got like somebody picking them up. And I'm going to be right there. And it's going to be just like that. And we're going to just, I'm going to take him. Oh, yeah. And I thought, this is like a God shot. The AA convention is happening. Like the day he gets out. I'm going to take him straight to the AA convention. We're going to get him a sponsor. This is going to be awesome. My husband's going to take him to meetings. I'm going to go to Al-Anon meetings. I'm going to share about him. Wow. This is going to, and Yannis is going to come. I'm going to have two Al-Anons there. We're just going to be in heaven. And it didn't work out that way. The AA convention got canceled because of COVID. I was like, oh, I didn't have that in the plan. Shit. And my brother, as it turns out, didn't want to get sober, you know, but I did what my spiritual action was, which was to get a sober living available for him so that he had everything that he needed if and when he chose to go. I said one time, this is available to you, and he said, I don't want to go there. I said, okay, that's your choice, you know. I go, well, will you go and just see it? He goes, yeah, I'll go see it. So he went. I picked him up, and it was an amazing day. I spent 6 hours and 56 minutes with him. And he said, I want to go see a friend downtown, which is where the homeless live. And my brother was homeless for many years, and he wanted to go see whatever. And so I took him there, and he never came back to the car. And I waited for 2.5 hours, called my friend Yannis, and I said, I'm just waiting for him, still not back. And I didn't miss it. I was able to go back. I was able to have a cry, have dinner with my two best friends and my husband, and know that I did everything that I could. And then I was available if and when he needed me. I mean, everyone was running around. We're looking for him downtown. I'm like, okay, go Al-Anons. You know, you're untreated. You know, I knew better than to go searching for him. They didn't find him. But 2 days later, we discovered that he was picked up for a felony drug charge, so he's back. He was out for 6 hours, and I didn't miss it. I got 6 hours with him. It could be, you know, the last 6 hours that he's ever free. And we laughed. I watched him smoke a cigarette and vomit on the side of my car because he has not had nicotine for 3 years. I go, I don't think God wants you to smoke, Joey. And he was like, I don't think so either, you know. And we laughed about that. We had so much fun for those 6 hours, you know. He called me a few weeks ago, and he was like, you're still talking to me? I said, of course I'm talking to you. I love you. Of course. And, you know, that's what I get to do. I get to not miss it because I'm in resentment, or I'm in judgment, or I'm in control. I'm in my, you know, I'm in my disease. And like I said, control is my drug of choice. Control, needing to know how something's going to turn out. Just even having an inkling, I used to say to God, just an inkling. Can I just have an inkling? You know, I don't need to know exactly. Just like, is it going in the right direction? No, that's control, you know? And so I don't miss it. I don't miss all of the, I remain teachable. I don't miss when I have to draw a boundary. I don't miss when my husband says to me, I don't feel significant. I pay attention. You know, and he, it's safe for him to say that to me today. And then the last thing is this, I'll just wrap with this. A few years ago, I don't know, a few years ago, probably 7 years ago, I was doing four-step work with a lady I sponsor in London, and I hung up with her, and I said, I called my sponsor, and I said, remember, there was that one person on my list, and I said it was an N for never, not an N for no, and that was my real dad. I was never going to make, he was never going to make that list, you know? And she said, yeah? And I go, well, it's a Y for yes, and she goes, fantastic! And I was like, she knew, you know, she just knew. And thank you, dear. And so I called him, my dad, after I hadn't spoken to him in, I want to say it was 39 years I hadn't spoken to him. And I called him and I said, it's me. And he goes, my favorite! I spoiled you! And I thought, oh my God, he really believes that. And you know, if I did the things that he did, I'd probably have to believe that too. I'd have to, like, it'd just be too hard for me to face. And so, it was an amazing experience. I said to my sponsor, well, how am I going to hang up the phone? Because this is me, right? Needing to know how this is going to go. And she says, you just say, thank you for my life. I said, how am I going to hang up the phone, Bev? And he's like, she goes, thank you for my life. Because that's the greatest gift a person can give another person. And then you say, goodbye. Hang up the phone. And I wrote that down, hang up the phone. Right? Because I don't know how to do that. Hang up the phone. And so I did that. I said, thank you for my life. And he said, okay. And like he had lost all this energy and he goes, goodbye. Like I didn't even have to, he hung up, goodbye. And then when I was going home this time for my brother, I thought, I think I'm ready to see him. And I called him and he said it again. My favorite, I spoiled you. And this is now what, now 44 years, right? 5 years later. And I went to see that man. And some of you know, when I was a kid, he used to have a thing. He stole a lot of Porsches. So he picked me up. I thought I was this rich kid who drove around in a different colored Porsche every week. They were all stolen. So so I go and I get a rental car. My brother Joey has quit his teaching job, my other brother, and he's like, I got a rental car company, sis. I got 15 cars. I go, okay, hook me up. And then, like a week before, I get this pop-up, and it's like, for like a Hertz rental car, just clicked on it, and like, it was like $50, and I was like, love you, but like, I'm not paying $120 a day. I'm getting a Hertz for $50 a day, you know? Give it to somebody else. He's like, okay. I get there, and they upgrade me for free to a Porsche. I didn't know this at the time, that there was a connection. But I go, I see this alcoholic in a Porsche. I pick my brother up in a Porsche that's not stolen from prison. You know, it is like legit. And it was just, it just blew my mind how God was with that. So I got to show up. And I spent an hour and a half with the alcoholic, my dad, and he loved on me. He's very charming, even all these years. I get my mom, you know, I get it. Even Yannis was like, he's charming. I go, I know, it's hard to believe he's that beast that I said he was, you know. But, you know, and I could see the relief. Like when I walked up the stairs, he said, my favorite, I spoiled you. He said it again. So that's how I know, like, he must believe that. And he said, under his breath, and it's funny because he let Yana videotape him. He was in his glory, man. And he said, I know I was a mean son of a bitch. And I didn't need that. But he got to say that. I think that was for him. You know? He can leave tomorrow, I think, and feel good that he's clean. And so if you're new, I mean, there's so many of these stories, and so many of us have these stories. This is the stuff, like the reading said, I can do difficult, difficult things today with ease and grace, and I don't miss it because I'm in my disease, I'm in my resentment. I get to see these little nuggets and these miracles. I get to have, thank you. Look at this. Okay, Bob, which one is it, Mom? It's 9 o'clock. So it's one of my beautiful alarms. But I love you all. My time is up. Thank you so much for having me. Don't miss it. Stay here. Get in the middle. Be willing to be willing. If you want your old life back, we'll refund it to you. Thank you, everyone. Let's have an amazing convention. So happy.